put your right foot in. You put your right foot out. You put your right foot in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. That's right. Yes. One of the funniest bumper stickers I've ever come across simply had a question on it. It said this: what if the hokey pokey is what it's all about? I love it. You never know, right? I do appreciate the question, though, not about the hokey pokey, but about life, about what all of this means. I know it will come as a huge shock to you since I'm a priest and all, but throughout my entire life, I've always had a natural bent toward this question: what's it all about? Of course, growing up in the church and in a Christian family, this question was always framed in terms of our faith. So what's it all about according to God or according to the Bible? Why did he create the universe in the first place? What is he working toward? And what's our place in his overall plan? In other words, what's it all about? In my younger years, as a teenager into college, I would have said this: it's all about your eternal destination, making sure you're saved, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you die tonight, you're heaven bound. And once you're sure, then you work hard and you pray hard to get as many people as possible saved as well. Because this world is not our home. It's all going to burn in the end. And eternity, compared to the measly 80 years or so that you'll have on this planet, relativizes everything. So go on now, knock on those doors, pass out those tracts, become a missionary, because that's what it's all about. Now, this answer started to make a noticeable shift in my 20s because of the theological education I was receiving in my undergraduate studies and then 5 years in seminary. As I was exposed to various theological systems, different traditions that had been working to make sense of these kinds of questions for centuries. And during this time, one of the traditions I gravitated toward most was called Reformed theology. What's it all about? Oh, I could tell you what it's all about. It's about God's glory, a glory made known by his predetermined plan of who's in and who's out, and the hefty doctrines used to explain the mechanics of how all this works: total depravity, penal substitution, imputed righteousness, limited atonement, and on they go. Yes, I knew that's what it's all about. But then, into my 30s, my answer began to change once more, this time by moving in a more social direction, taking on a more earthly and this world dimension. The Anglican bishop and premier New Testament scholar N.T. Wright had something to do with that and continues to do. What's it all about? The kingdom of God is at hand. And it's a kingdom that is for this world. A kingdom Jesus prays would come on earth as it is in heaven. It is good news right here and right now for the poor and the marginalized. An upside down kingdom where the mighty are cast down from their thrones and the lowly are lifted up. That's what it's all about. But now I'm well into my 40s, and wouldn't you know, my answer is once again on the move. Or perhaps I should say it's being tweaked. Because it's not like everything I had previously thought is completely wrong, certainly not. No, there is some truth from these other answers that carry forward. It's just that I no longer believe that any of these answers stand at the core of what's it all about. None of these are the center of gravity that integrates everything else. No, it's something deeper, something more beautiful, more profound. What is it then? What is it all about? I wonder, what would you say? Surely you've given this question some thought before. Surely it's kept you up at times. I know I'm not the only one. Even our children sometimes ask versions of this question. One of the things I love about our 12-year-old son, Lawson, is that he's prone to ask existential questions. I mean, usually as a way of getting out of his homework, but still, it's pretty great. Dad, what's the point of doing math if we're all going to die anyway? I mean, he knows I'm a sucker for that one. But what about you? What would you say? What is it all about? Well, a 15-minute homily can only scratch the surface on this one, but we would be wise to begin with the words of Jesus from our gospel passage this morning. Some of the last words Jesus shares with his disciples before his arrest and crucifixion, words that if we just sat down and marinated in them for a few days, we'd make some good progress on this question, what's it all about? Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." There's so much to unpack here, but for our purposes this morning, let's just hit the high point, shall we? It's a theme that the scriptures return to over and over again. It's a wonder that we miss it or that we carelessly set it aside so often. And so are you ready? Here it is. God is love. Therefore, it's all about love. Listen, I know what you're thinking. Probably the same thing I was thinking when years ago I was at a friend's church teaching Sunday school to some teenagers who clearly didn't want to be there. So I thought I would spice things up with this thought-provoking question. What's it all about? What's the point of it all? God, the Bible, our faith, what's the thread that connects all of this and moves it along? And of course, right on cue, like they had all been programmed to spit out the standard lines with zero emotion, they say things like, Jesus, salvation, going to heaven, forgiveness, stuff like that. But then there was this one girl whose answer I could tell was laced with considerable thought and reflection. And she was brave enough to test the waters. Love, she said. I think it's all about love. Oh, please, I said to myself, rolling my eyes inside. Come on. This girl must either be love sick or love struck. Now, I'm pretty sure that my reply was polite, but I did quickly move on to talk about what I was there to talk about. No need to give her answer much thought. So I don't blame you if you're feeling the same way right now. I mean, it doesn't sound very compelling to hear someone say, it's all about love. Of course, that's because we've all done a good job relegating love to the sentimental and to the romantic, to warm feelings of coziness or, you know, being extra nice to people. So that love for us has really just become this unimpressive, squishy sensation. How can something like this be what it's all about? It appears the Apostle Paul had to tackle this same lack of imagination, this myopic view of love. Because in his letter to the Ephesians, he shares with us an entry from his prayer journal. Listen to how he earnestly prays for his readers. He says, "I bow down and kneel before our Heavenly Father and pray that you might have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You see, there's something much grander going on here than our puny visions of love can handle. If only we had the power to grasp it. For it is a love that is rooted in the very first thing Jesus says in our passage today. "As the Father has loved me," is what he says. That's the starting point. This love that is shared between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's the love we're talking about. This is why the Trinity is not some esoteric doctrine we dust off from time to time to make sure our beliefs align with the Nicene Creed. No, the Trinity is ultimate reality. A threefold family of persons abiding in each other in deep communion with one another, forever giving and receiving love and life and joy, world without end. And it's this love that Jesus is referring to when he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now abide in this love." And then, of course, he goes on to tell them to extend this same love out into the entire world. My friends, the very essence of God is love, which means that's what it's all about. One day, a lawyer approaches Jesus with a question in order to test him. "Teacher," he says, "which commandment is the greatest?" To which Jesus replies, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You know, there's a reason our service begins with this summary of the law each and every Sunday, because that's what it's all about. And then on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus tells his disciples that people will know if they are truly his disciples only if they love one another as he has loved them. And Jesus says this because that's what it's all about. When the Apostle Paul is forced to write a letter to the dysfunctional church in Corinth, a church rife with division and controversy, arguing about faith and tongues and prophecy, you name it, this is what he tells them. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. And if I have these prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries of the universe, and if I have the faith to move mountains but have not love, then I am nothing." You see, Paul can say this because that's what it's all about. Abiding in the love of Christ and extending that same love to all people. Or, as we say over and over again here at All Saints, sharing in the life of God for the life of the world. My friends, this isn't just a catchy, cutesy mission statement. No, we truly believe that's what it's all about. And if this is the case, then consider this question. If someone were to look at your life, your relationships, your habits, what you're pursuing, what you're out to learn, what would they say that your life is all about. Ouch. Is it a life marked above all by love of God, love for neighbor? Is it marked by a relentless pursuit of this love, or is it marked by something else? What would you say? What would your children say? Your spouse, your friends and coworkers, what is your life all about? Our deepest desire here at All Saints is that we would be a community marked deeply by the love of Christ, that we would be intent on learning how to abide in His love, that we would be intent on learning how to share His love with others. That this, above all, would be what drives us as a church, what marks us as a church. Because as you know, that's what it's all about. Amen? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are love, that you cannot not love, and that you have invited us to share in that love through your created world, through these relationships, through our worship and our work, our family. Lord, help us not to take our eyes off of this invitation, off of this calling that you have given us as your human image bearers. We want to abide in the love that is shared between you and your Son and your Spirit. Teach us how to do that deeply so that we might be marked by love and a people that extend that love into the world. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.